Okay. We're in Joshua chapter 10 today. And a few things have happened since we last Sunday's lesson when they took Jericho and took over Jericho and God kept their promise, saved everybody, but something has happened when Joshua instructed all of his people, once we do this, you're not to take anything out of Jericho. Well, poor old Achan decided he would take something. Didn't think he'd get caught, but he did. And things started being a little rocky for Joshua and the people of Israel. Things didn't go well. But they had made a commitment, and that's what the lesson's about today. Has anybody in here ever made a commitment to anything in life?
Yes.
Yeah. What happens if you fail to keep your commitment?
It's about a house or a car.
You lose it.
Yeah, if you're not committed to marriage,
you lose it.
Okay. And then it affects so many people around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the things that you don't do affects the people that are involved in the lives.
And even in the workplace or at church, you make a strong commitment to do a good job and you backslide a little bit. And do you feel guilty? Do things ever, and I say this lightly, have things ever happened that you think, well, if I had only done what I said I was going to do, this wouldn't have happened. I'm being punished. Should we feel that way? Yeah. Because I'm going to read the scripture. It's verses 6 through 14. Leading up to this, and Joshua led up to this, the Gibeonites had sort of tricked Joshua to sign an agreement or commit to them. They kind of presented themselves as being, let's say, maybe poor. We don't have any help, any structure. We need you to come in and join us. And Joshua committed to that. But it says, then the Gibeonites sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us, because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. It says, Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. This is after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road up to Beth Horon and cut off them all the way down to Azekah and Maacah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky, and more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. It says, on the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord, in the presence of Israel, O sun, stand still over Gibeon, O moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. It says, the sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. How do you look at this and see how God is still honoring his word with Joshua, even though Joshua has gone against him? The Gibeonites, like I said earlier, had tricked them into kind of joining forces. But then they're tricking and telling them that all these kings and all these nations are now coming against us, and we want you to come protect us. Now, I don't remember reading this, but I'm wondering if the Gibeonites were trying to get the people of Israel in to destroy them instead of you really coming to help us. So was Joshua being punished because of this? Or did he come to his senses pretty quick? Because one writer points out they had to march a long way, and they marched at night to get to where the Gibeonites was. Plus, they had to march up a mountain. Now, if you were leading an army and you were going to go into battle, wouldn't you want to stop and rest? Let's wait. We'll attack them later. But it's an amazing, to me, it's an amazing story of how we see how God can work. He provided safety for them, even though Joshua had turned his, let's say, turned his back on him a little bit. But I think the verse that kind of stands out before is when Joshua and made the agreement with God to begin with, God told him that no man would ever stand before you. I'll always be with you.
When he made the covenant.
He made a covenant with him.
See, Joshua, Moses was so strong in his life. He was such a mentor. And Moses made a commitment and went up and got the Ten Commandments, and then he came down, and they ended up messed up down there. But he went back. So it makes you wonder, did Joshua remember things like Moses had a second chance, and the Lord never left Moses, and he kept his promise with Moses, and he told Moses you would never see the promise.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Joshua realized before he really messed up big time that the things that he had learned from Moses, and like you said, the scripture, the Lord was never going to just leave the guy hanging out to dry. He was always going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Because we're going to, I mean, what we're seeing is where God made the statement and he told Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Like you said, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be frightened. So Joseph had something to go with. He had a promise. So, can we, and like with Joshua, can we see where in life we have the promises, we make commitments, we backslide a little bit, but he never leaves us. He's always there with us. He's made that promise to us. So, by doing that, can that show other people, well, you know, there's old Oliver, he professes to be a strong Christian, but I saw him, he's not living like he once lived. But then a year later, maybe your faith has strengthened and they see a change again. Well, he never wavered, he never quit. So there is something there. There is something working with that person.
And the scriptures then are just like now. I mean, the miracles, like the Red Sea, and then it being daylight for 24 hours, I mean, the sun never going down. And then people still didn't believe that there was somebody that could do that. You know, I mean, it's like they were still so skeptical of there being a being that could hold the world in his hand and make the changes, weather-wise or visual-wise, and I still didn't believe.
Because,
I mean, even in something they couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, how could you not see that it was been, the sun had been out 24 when are we going to bed? When is it going to get dark?
And well, if you're a leader of an army.
Please let it get dark. Get dark so I can get this child. it's 9 o'clock and the sun's still out. Go to bed.
But talking about that, I mean, it tells us, and that was this Joshua's plan. We march in at night and we surprise them in the morning. Well, my guys have marched all night. Why don't we just stop and take a break? But they didn't. And I thought all of this was interesting in that when they attacked, it was daybreak. But they were coming from the east. The Gibeonites were to the west. So when the sun came up, the sun was in their eyes. They were blinded. So Joshua had an advantage. But then when that part where in verse 13 it says, "Sun, stand still," and the sun stopped in the midst of heaven. Now, this writer points out, and I've never heard of this, y'all may have, it's recorded here in Joshua, but I've never heard of the book of Jashar. I looked it up, and not good explanation, but one person says it's a book of Hebrew songs or poems. And, you know, then there are people that say, should it be in the Bible or not? But I'm not going to get off in that because I don't know. But also, at this point, is this happened. Joshua and his men attack. They're winning the battle. Talks about the Gibeonites then retract and they're trying to turn and run the other way. But when they're doing that, if they look back over the shoulder to check on Joshua and them, the sun's still in their eyes. So there's another advantage. But when they're running, the Lord sends down a large hailstones, it says, from heaven and attacks those people. Now, if you're Joshua and you see all of this happening, does it kind of make you go back and think, well, you know, why did you intervene? I let you down. I broke our covenant. You know, things aren't right, but why? But God told him he would always stand and be with the people of Israel. But the point, I mean, there's lots of little things in this lesson, but when it said that God caused the sun to stand still and the moon, that he listened to a man. And that's the only time in recorded that has happened. And I got to thinking, how many people, us included, how many people since then have prayed to God for something to happen or change this or come back? Why won't he listen to us today like he listened to Joshua then? Or is our faith strong enough that if I really ask it and it happens, I'm going to be happy?
I think it takes us sometimes to reflect back on what has happened in our lives. And then we can see where he did listen to our voice and he did answer. Like you said, some of the things that were answered did not make you a happy person. If you think about it, I mean, some things happened in our lives we were not happy about. But then there are other events in our lives that we prayed about.
that either changed our lives and made us a happy person or made us able to make other people happy.
Listen, a lot of times we pray and we're unhappy because that prayer doesn't get answered. Exactly. And we look back years later and we realize that it was such a blessing that the way we prayed it, the things that we wanted, did not happen because that wasn't what God had intended when best for us.
Well, and we do forget, I think, when we pray that it's in His time. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see things good. And then when we look back and when we prayed it this day, it didn't get answered until way up this day,
mm-hmm.
you see that if it had been answered then, it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have worked in the best for the people involved, but it did later.
Because this writer points out, if you go back to Abraham, Joseph, Moses, they were all great men of faith. Did they ever ask God for anything particular like that? And if it didn't occur, why Joshua? Is it because God's covenant with Joshua and the people of Israel, those are my people, I'm not going to let them be destroyed? I mean, that's a promise that we carry, or we should carry, and have hope that hopefully our Christian lives, our Christian faith will never be destroyed, even though it's being attacked every day. So, you know, I guess we could tie that in, that we do ask God for the same thing, but maybe we don't see the result just that one, like this one particular time that Joshua saw.
Moses and Joshua, they were going to get delivered from the promise.
Mm-hmm.
So if he let them all get killed this day,
then his promise is broken.
They never got to fulfill what we've studied all these years about getting to the promised land to be a part of it. I mean, you know, he told Moses right up front after he messed all the mess that happened to Moses that you will not see the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
But those that followed behind him will see the promise. So if they killed everybody, then the commitment we made to that didn't get fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because the writer, he tests this, he's written this, he says, today God's people still face challenges that, while different, seem just as insurmountable as what Joshua was facing. So we should remember this lesson and this story when we're facing trials and not get hopeless and give up. Because he says he'll keep his commitments to us as long as we keep our commitments to him. And we never know. We might have the thought that maybe my faith is not as strong as it should be, so I'm really not a strong voice for God outside in the real world. But I think if you look back on this lesson, this story, you can see your faithlessness, not having the faith, sometimes can come in and inspire you to want to do better and make a commitment, and then you see how God works in all of that.
Also, it's kind of a testimony for people looking at you on the outside.
Yes.
See you fall and struggle, and yet then they see you come back up, and then they know you've got something, you know, mm-hmm. substantial to hold on to.
Or how do you keep going mm-hmm. when I know you've just been through this? You know, they're looking for something there. Just in trust. Mm-hmm.
That's it. You kind of get selfish. Joshua was thinking of the people.
But now when I have a problem, I'm not really thinking about anybody else. I'm thinking about me.
You're thinking about you.
No, that's right, meaning. But Joshua, it shows too how unselfish and loving he was, because he was worried about his people, which, you know, that was his responsibility, which is a great responsibility, but that shows his heart. He wasn't just thinking about himself getting hurt, or maybe even his family.
Mm-hmm.
He was thinking about everybody that had come to the promised land. And, I mean, that says a lot, too. That's where, like you said, you make a commitment in church to do something. It's for wherever you are in that. If it's a Sunday school, you are. You know, that's your commitment. That's your love.
We'll kind of close with this. If someone ever tricked you into doing something that you didn't really want to do and you knew the outcome might not be good, but you went ahead and proceeded, and then you really saw that you were taken advantage of, what's your reaction to the person who tricked you into doing that?
Makes mad. You don't like
it. I mean, does the...
And I guarantee you one thing. If you ask me to do something, I won't do it.
You said that.
That's why. You can find somebody else to do that. So, and we've all had things in our lives that people have asked us to do that we really didn't want to do. And, you know, sometimes it works out.
Won't say that God will trick you, but will God place something in your life to test you in a manner like that?
I believe that God did.
And, you know, if
and ultimately, God knows what we can do, whether exactly. We think we can.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes
yeah.
He might be saying, you can do this.
You can do it, but I know I can't. So, but in His works, He can. So, Philippe. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.